What we focus on in Superhuman Fathers is tying everything you're doing to a purpose, or we call it a deep spiritual meaning. And spiritual could be God, it could be your relationships with your wife, your kids, just something bigger than yourself. Because if all you're focused on is yourself, then you're not actually going to change. And so this isn't a fitness program. Yeah, we're going to teach you how to go to the gym, and we're going to teach you how to eat correctly, but it's, why do you do this? What is your purpose? What is your purpose as a person, for you, for your life?
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share their real life experiences and the tools they've learned and developed to move forward and live their best lives. I'm Jenny Taylor.
And I'm Michelle Scharf. Today we have Corey Oxhatch. And Jenny Ox reached out to me on social media and told me that he had a short story that he'd like to share. And as he started to share the story, I was like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do this.
Can't wait to learn about it.
Yep. So let me introduce Corey. Actually, he doesn't go by Corey. He goes by Ox. So Ox, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Awesome. Thanks. I'm just an average guy, really. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I've been married 17 years. I've got three amazing kids, and just trying to be the best version of myself I can be.
That's awesome.
Can I ask where you got the name Ox? I'm just curious, like, was it a childhood nickname? Is it newer than that? Have you always gone by it?
It is about 20 years old now. I'm 6'3", and at the time I was pushing almost 300 pounds.
So you are the Ox. I get it.
Yeah. If you saw me physically, you would not question it. Like, let's put it that way. Yeah. I'm a large human
being.
You're
just owning it. Just own it. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Amazing. So Ox, a little bit about the story is about talking about that, right? 300 was your highest weight?
340.
So when you reached out to me, Ox, a little bit of the story is about your size, and your highest weight you got up to was 340 pounds. Before we get into all of that, I want to know what resilience means to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question, by the way, because it really is something that I've worked on over the last 18 months. For me, resilience is moving forward when the voice in your head is giving you every reason to stop.
Yeah. Whoa, wait a second. Let's say that again. That's awesome.
Moving forward when the voice in your head is giving you every reason to stop.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
That's good. That's another t-shirt. We joke, we should just make t-shirts out of all these good definitions and one-liners.
We have about 110 merchandise items.
One a day.
So we haven't created yet.
I love that you kind of own up to the fact that resilience by nature implies there's a struggle, right? Between the voice in your head
Absolutely.
And what you're maybe choosing to do. So sorry, carry on. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was just so good I needed to hear it twice.
Go ahead. Tell us more. What does resilience mean to you? Is that it? Do you just live by that, or do you have more to share?
Yeah. I mean, as far as the definition of just what resilience means to me, that's really what it is.
And
that's,
okay.
And like that's part of my whole story. When I started listening to your podcast, and like it was just like, resilience. I love that word, because that is what I've tried to embody.
Yeah.
So you mentioned 18 months. What happened 18 months ago?
18 months ago, I found a program, a men's group called Superhuman Fathers.
Superhuman Fathers.
Is it okay if I kind of share what got me to the point of reaching out to Superhuman Fathers?
Yeah, I really want you to start with that, because, you know,
okay.
When you called me, you started talking about the highest weight you'd ever been, and then you got into your story. It's not really for our listeners who think, oh, this is just going to be some weight loss story. It's not really a story of weight loss, even though that is the result that you achieved, right?
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
I want to get into that, where you were in mentally. What happened? You were 340 pounds. You were not happy. Where were you?
Like I was never the peak version of myself in my mind, because I was never like the star athlete. I wasn't a huge athlete growing up. I was always just the big tall guy. I was the Ox, and like, I accepted it. I kind of embraced it. Like I knew, I mean, I was tall. I was, I graduated high school at like 270. The best shape I'd ever been in was like, I got for my wedding, I was probably 250. And then I did get married. I got married at 23, and just life kind of happened to me. We started having kids a few years later. I went back to school. I got a career. And I just never really had coping skills, I guess, on how to deal with all of that. And I don't think a lot of people do. And that's why we fall into this pit. Most people do. And it's usually based off of fear, distraction, complacency, or sedation. Really, those are the four things that put most people into this pit of just where life ends up. And it's, I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs. The normal sedation things wasn't there for me. So my kind of vice was food. That's how I dealt with stress of being a husband, having three kids, going to school, working 40 to 50 hours a week. It was, hey, it was a stressful day. I'm going to stop at the drive-thru and get two cheeseburgers on my way home. That was how I coped. That's how I dealt with things. And I developed a very unhealthy relationship with food. And that was just my escape. And that's how, 35 years old, I was 340 pounds. And what I woke up one morning and I just looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize the guy looking back. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know what his motivations were. I just got into a really dark place and I knew something had to change. I just didn't know what. And so I was like, hey, I gotta start losing weight. I'm going to go to the gym, right? Like that's what I was going to do. And so I started going to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. And I did that for like 4 years. I lost like 30 pounds. But it never changed my mindset. I was still very impatient with my kids. I was still very distant from my wife. I was had a very short fuse. I was full of anger. And when someone is angry at themselves for the pit they've put themselves in, they take it out on those closest to them.
Yeah. It's just easy. It's what we do by our nature, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's so much easier to point the finger than to look in the mirror.
Absolutely.
It's my wife's fault. It's my kid's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my job's fault. It's the world's fault. You really need to take a look in the mirror and realize if there's problems in your life, more than likely it's your fault.
Like these are so many good one-liners. Like it's so much easier to point the finger than to look in the mirror. If there's problems in your life, it's probably your fault. Like these are good. Keep going, Ox. I love this.
Yeah. And so I spent 3-4 years trying to fix this problem that I saw was my weight. And I tried everything. I was going to the gym. I tried every fad diet you can think of, keto, paleo, caveman, carnivore, juicing, shakes, meal plans. I tried it all. I even started like powerlifting and doing strongman stuff because that was like, those were my guys. That was my tribe. These are big, strong, fat men, and I would fit in. And I did that for a while. I competed and I had a lot of fun, but I still didn't like the guy staring back at me when I looked in the mirror. And I just was in this super dark place. And then I was down to like 310 pounds in November of 2021. And I was just so broken on the inside that I went and saw a plastic surgeon. And I didn't tell my wife. This is all done in secret because I was ashamed of her reaction. But I went and saw a plastic surgeon. I said, what would it cost for me to go to sleep and to wake up skinny? Because that's what I need. I need to be skinny so I can love myself because I don't love myself the way I look. And we talked about it. He gave me the consultation and I went home and I was like, okay, this is how I do it. This is how I fix myself, is going and having surgery. And I was working up the courage to tell my wife, this was my plan. This is what I wanted to do. And on Instagram one day, before I could tell her, a buddy of mine posted this transformation picture of where he was before and he had now he had a six pack. And I read the transformation. It had not, and all of his thoughts about going the what he transformed, not one mention of the physical aspect. It was how he became a better husband, how he became a better father, how he became a better business owner. And this was somebody I knew. Like I'd seen lots of transformation pics, and it's usually, 25-year-olds. The trainer's 25 years old and they train, actors to look like superheroes. And in 6 weeks you can have abs. And it was like always just make believe to me. It was just social media, magic. But this was somebody I knew. This was somebody I'd gone on, you know, are we taking our wives on dates together? We'd been to their house. He'd been to my house. So I reached out to him and I was like, Brian, like, what do you do, man? Like, what pill do I got to take? What shake do I got to drink? What do I have to do to get what you just did? And he said two words. He said, call Kyle. Kyle's the founder of Superhuman Fathers. And so I reached out to Kyle, and that conversation has changed the trajectory of my life.
That's so exciting. Wow. It's so interesting because you see this guy making physical transformations, but he's not even talking about the physical transformation. He's talking about the inner.
And it's so much more than the visible physical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although the visual is evidently just as impactful, you know, visually.
It catches your eye for sure. Because like you see somebody that goes from not having, you know, like, I mean, he it was just a normal physique. He was just average. But then all of a sudden he looked very elite. And I was like, that's what I want. I want this peak version of myself. Because in my mind, I'm still in this pit where everything is wrong. Because all I see is someone that isn't the peak. And so it was affecting my job. It was affecting my marriage. I mean, my marriage was just, I mean, we were on the brink of divorce. We were talking to lawyers at one point, like all because of how I felt about myself. I kept trying to blame everyone around me and it just wreaked havoc on everything in my life.
Yeah.
And so
we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the conversation you had with Kyle and how it changed your life. We're going to take
a
break and we'll be right back. We're back. Ox, so you get on the call with Kyle. What does he tell you? Does he say, hey, dude, it's not about your body. It's about your head.
No, he didn't even tell me that. I got on the call with him and I told him, I think honestly, for the first time, I actually shared my truth, my honest self.
Oh, wow.
And let him in to deep, dark places that I never let my wife go. I didn't even like going, but I shared with him just, I don't know what it was. There was just something there that like seeing Brian go through his transformation gave me permission that it was possible. I didn't believe it was possible yet, but he gave me the permission to think that it could happen. And so I just laid it out for Kyle. I told him everything, all my insecurities, all the reasons I hated myself. And he said, I got you. I can help you fix this. And I said, I don't think it's going to work, Kyle. I straight up told him, I really don't think this is going to work. And he said, give yourself a chance. And it was interesting because he didn't say, give me a chance.
Yeah.
He didn't say, give me Kyle a chance. He said, give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
What does that look like when he says, give yourself a chance? Did the transformation take place over the phone call? Was it a period of time?
That gave me the permission that it was my choice. It gave me the option. If I gave myself one more chance. Oh, sorry. I didn't know I was going to get emotional.
It's a byproduct of being on our show. Sorry.
Yeah.
Should have warned you.
But it gives you the option, which is almost a sense of ownership or control, which I think as humans we crave. You know, life is the hardest when it feels completely out of control. And sometimes we deal with that by blaming everyone. Like you mentioned, it's easier to just point the finger. But by giving yourself a little bit of ownership and the just smallest possibility that it could work. So what did it look like? I mean, obviously Kyle's going to give you a chance, but he's developed some kind of program or mindset or coaching. Or tell us a little bit about this Superhuman Fathers. I love the name, by the way. What does it entail, this journey?
So what Superhuman Fathers is really mindset coaching above all else, because Kyle will tell you first thing, this isn't a fitness program. Yes, he is going to teach you fitness. Yes, he is going to teach you how to eat correctly. But the reasons you do that is all in your mindset. And that's what he taught me. And just on that call, when he said, give yourself one more chance, like for me, that was like, okay, this is it. This is my last chance before I go back to that doctor. I'm going to try one more crazy thing. When this doesn't work, then I'm going to go back to that doctor.
Yeah, thinking it's just one more effort that's going to fail.
Yep, exactly. Because that's all I'd done.
Yeah.
Is fail. Like I tried so many times and I just kept failing because what I was focused on was the result. I wanted to lose weight. And when you're focused on the result and not the process of getting that result, you're always going to fail.
Yeah.
It's another great one-liner. I love
so
that.
So what happened? Talk to us about your first few weeks on this program. What did that look like?
So he gave me the blueprint, the plan. It was, here's your workouts. We're going to track macros. You're going to know exactly what you're putting in your body and why you're putting it in your body. Okay, Kyle, let's do this. I'm bought in 100% day one. And it was crazy. So day one was December 20th, 2021. It's 5 days before Christmas. I started this program, right? And in my mind, I signed up for a year. And in a year, my goal was to lose 11 pounds because I was 310. And I just wanted to see a scale of the scale, say two for the first time in almost 15 years. Two something. That's what I was hoping for. So because I'd spent 4 years to lose 30 pounds. And so a year to lose 11 made sense in my mind. And so he gave me the program. I started it. And in 7 days, I lost 12 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your reaction? What's your mindset? What does that do to your motivation and your determination? And I mean, the fact that I hear this, in December, you're making this commitment to try to lose 11 pounds over a year. You're giving yourself a chance, but you're sure not really believing in yourself if that's where you've set the bar, right?
Exactly.
And then
right.
A week later, you've passed your year goal. Walk us through that and what happens next.
I was actually mad. I was really mad at Kyle. Because he sold me on a year, right? And my goal for that year, I just accomplished in 7 days.
You just wasted
days.
All this
I was like,
money,
Kyle,
yeah.
What am I supposed to do for the rest of the year? Like, I was really upset with him. And he was like, I don't know. How far can you go? Like, I don't know. I've never been this far. What do you mean, how far can I go? And that was the moment. It was that concept. I don't know. I've never been this far. How far can I go? And that changed
totally
my whole
different mindset.
Like,
yeah. Rather than bare minimum to make myself hate myself the least, to how far can
exactly.
I go? Wow.
Yeah. And that was the moment everything changed. And I just dove in head first. I want to see how far I can go. I don't know. I've never been able to say I went as far as I could go. And so I just dove in. I did it. Like all the workouts, I did all the macro tracking and all these things. And I started losing weight. And then I woke up 4 or 5 months into it. And I looked in the mirror and I finally saw someone that I could respect. It's not that I did respect myself yet, but I could because I looked at myself and I saw the progress. I lost like 50 pounds.
So you're losing the weight. The physical is being healed, but you still have to heal the mind.
Exactly. And it took losing the weight to expose the hurt and the pain and all the anguish that I had underneath.
So is it at that point that you realize I'm finally a respectable person that I approve of, but I'm still not approving of myself? Did you have
exactly.
that realization? Like, you're like, I've made it this far. I thought the weight was the thing that was making me miserable, but I'm here and now I'm still not happy with me.
That's exactly what happened. I looked in the mirror and I couldn't say I hate myself because I'm fat, because I was no longer fat.
Mm.
And so why do I still hate myself? And that's when I finally had the courage to ask myself, why do you hate yourself? What is it about you that you don't like? And that's when I realized I was living, and I think a lot of people do this and they don't realize it. There was three lives I was living, and it was exhausting. There was the public life. Everyone can see it, right? Mm-hmm. I have a nice house. I've got a great career, a beautiful wife, amazing kids, new cars. I've got, by the outside, I was the guy that had it all.
Right.
And But then you come into my private life inside my home where not everyone can see. I'm protected and I'm lazy. I don't help out around the house. I don't support my wife. I'm very short-tempered. I'm not patient with my kids. I don't connect with them. I am exhausted because I put on this show all day at work and I walk through the door and it's a light switch. My energy is just turned off and it's don't bother dad. He's tired from work. And that was my private life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so different.
Yeah. What was the third life?
The third life is the secret life.
Mm.
And that's the voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough. That you're not worthy. You should never try because all you're going to do is fail because that's all you've ever done is fail. And that's the secret life that so many people live with and yeah. So many people listen to and believe it. And the thing is we know those things are lies, but we know how to lie to ourselves so well that we believe our own lie.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, it kind of gets down to three core truths that on some level, every single person in the world deals with. And that is, yep. Am I enough? Am I worthy? Can I be loved? Do I deserve love? Right. So at the end of the day, right. It kind of all boils down to one of those three things or a combination or all of them. And the difference between people that are successful and those that are not are the ones that can make peace and heal that inner child wound that is quite common in most everybody. So how did Kyle start to help you connect with that and start to work through those core wounds?
So what we focus on in Superhuman Fathers is tying everything you're doing to a purpose or we call it a deep spiritual meaning. And spiritual could be God, it could be your relationships with your wife, your kids, just something bigger than yourself. Because if all you're focused on is yourself, then you're not actually going to change. That's why so many guys yo-yo with weight loss, is because they're doing it for a specific goal, a specific reason. Oh, I've got a wedding coming up. Oh, I've got a vacation coming up, a high school reunion. And I got to look good for that thing. And then as soon as they achieve that goal or that event happens, they go right back to who they were that got them that weight that they lost in the first place. And so that's why Kyle tells everybody, this isn't a fitness program. Yeah, we're going to teach you how to go to the gym and we're going to teach you how to eat correctly, but it's why do you do this? What is your purpose? In our case, what is your purpose as a man? What is your purpose as a person, as for you, for your life? And for me, Ox, I want to be the best husband and the best father I am capable of being. I'm not comparing myself to anyone else. I am setting my standard of what that looks like. And then I've got to achieve that standard. And how do I do that? I've got to put processes in. I've got to build systems into my life. We call them non-negotiable habits. Because the worst person to negotiate with is yourself. Because you can talk yourself out of anything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And so if I say I am waking up, like when I first started, I was waking up, my wake up time was 5:30. I pushed it back to 4:45 because I want to get more things done in the morning. But every day, my wake up time is 4:45, whether that's a Saturday, a Sunday, a holiday, a vacation. I wake up at 4:45 because I have things to get done before my family wakes up. I want to be the best version of myself. The best husband I can be requires daily habits. The best father I can be requires daily habits. And how do I do that? I sacrifice a little bit of sleep to make sure that I'm right. For me, I'm right mentally, physically, spiritually, every single day.
Yes, that's awesome and amazing. So you get these things in place. And so you've been doing this how long? Are you still working with Kyle?
I am. I actually work for Kyle now.
Okay, that's cool. Tell us a little bit about that transition from going as one of the clients he's trying to help to now it sounds like you're also helping other men in the same type of situation or mindset struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was August last year. So I'd been in the program about 9 months. I'd lost 80 pounds. So I was down 110 pounds total from my highest. And I just, like anything that changes your life, right? You want to share it. And so I went to Kyle and I was like, Kyle, I got to do something. I got to tell other guys that are 300 pounds that it's possible. Like, you have to do the work. You have to show up. No one can do this for you. But so many men that were in my situation were just like me that don't even think it's possible. And I just was talking to him about that. And I was like, what do I do, man? Like, how do I share this? And he's like, well, there's two ways. And I'll help you with either one. I was like, okay. And he's like, the first one, start your own coaching program. You would kill it. Every 300-pound guy out there will hear your story and they will sign up because you did it. You know exactly what it feels like. He's like, I can't connect with them. I've never been 300 pounds. But you can connect with them. And when they say, I'm 300 pounds, I hate myself, my marriage is falling apart, and I'm in the darkness, I'm in the pit, you can say, I remember exactly what that feels like. And then you can share with them how to get out of that pit. I was like, okay. And he's like, or help me grow this. Help me grow Superhuman Fathers. I want to take this message to as far as we can. And I said, done. I'm in. You saved my life. I will do whatever it takes to repay you.
So I'm curious, and I know Kyle's not here and we're not trying to tell his story, but did he also have a story of his own that was similar that brought him to where he was?
Yeah. So Kyle had been a paramedic firefighter for the last 10 or 15 years.
Okay.
He just was able to step away earlier this year because Superhuman Fathers is doing very well. But he got to the point where, as most first responders do, they deal with very dark things.
Right.
And he was bringing that emotion home. And he knew he didn't want to do that. He was very angry. He was apathetic and went through his own transformation and spent a lot of time. And as he kind of did that for himself, other guys in his firehouse kind of took notice and were like, Kyle, can you help me? And just he was just living it. And guys around him were like, Kyle, can you help me? Please, Kyle, you got to help me, man.
The value of coaching today is phenomenal. I mean, therapy is awesome, but often therapy looks back. It's more about dealing with old wounds. And it's not that we might not uncover them in coaching or that we might not kind of address them in a way, but the real way coaching, the true focus of coaching is to identify where you're at, where you want to go, what your goals are, and how to get there. It's forward thinking.
Well, and I love what you mentioned that, you know, Kyle recognized that in you, that you could be a good coach because you could identify with people or resonate with them the same way that he could resonate with you. It's one thing to have somebody stand up and tell us how to live life or how to let go or how to move on or whatever, you know, the textbook tells us to do. It's quite another when you find a person who's had that similar experience or something where you feel you can connect on a level that's not just philosophy or theory, but it's real life. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's what really helps you and Kyle both and the whole Superhuman Fathers program really resonate with these men, these fathers you're helping, because not one of you feels like the odd man out or the broken one or the guy that just couldn't figure it out. You're all kind of sharing some common ground and then a common journey that you're helping each other with. And I think that's a huge part of resilience. Mm-hmm. When you find, call it your tribe, call it whatever you call it, to find people who maybe walked a bit of what you've walked, there's a special level of empowerment to be found when we engage with people that have some kind of connection with us. Not that we only associate with people mm-hmm. who have similar stories, but, you know, it's one thing to hear about grief and widowhood from a psychology class. It's another thing to hear about it from another grieving widow in our case. So I really appreciate what you're doing. Where are you geographically? How do people get involved? How many people are you currently helping? Are there more than just you and Kyle? Can you tell us a little bit about the growth of the program today?
Yeah, absolutely. It is growing very fast, which is awesome. So Kyle is the founder. He's the visionary of everything. And then we've got on the coaching side, he's got his brother, Ryan, who went through his own transformation. He did the same kind of thing. He was a Spanish teacher and just kind of lost and went through his own transformation. So now he's the head coach and president of Superhuman Fathers. We've got Chris, who is a full-time firefighter, certified nutritionist, certified personal trainer. And so he builds the workouts now and does the macro tracking. They both coach everybody. And then on the kind of the recruiting side, you've got me and then Mike. who works on kind of the sales side of things. Every one of us has been through our own transformation. That's what's really cool about Superhuman Fathers is just the organization itself. Every one of us has been through our own transformation. Mike is a Navy veteran who, when he got out of the Navy, they told him his hip was broken. They operated on it, handed him a cane and said, "You'll never walk right again." And he's lost, I think, 60 pounds, doesn't use a cane anymore. He's like just completely different person, different mindset.
So really transformation is happening all around in this group, and it's amazing. We need to take another break, and when we come back, we will talk more about what you're doing and where to actually find you on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be right back. And we're back. Ox, where can the men that are struggling reach out and find you, find Kyle, find Superhuman Fathers?
Instagram is our number one platform. So it's Superhuman Fathers for Kyle, the main page. And then mine is The Superhuman Ox.
Okay. Amazing. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Do you want to tell us how life changed personally for you? What happened to the relationship with your kids, your wife?
If I can make it through this part. When I say Kyle saved my life, I don't mean because of my health. I mean, he saved my life as I knew it. Because like I mentioned, my marriage was on the rocks. I wasn't connecting well with my kids. And when I had that realization of this, like, the three lives that I was living, I knew I had to stop. In my mind, I wasn't living honestly. I wasn't lying. I wasn't outright lying to anyone, but I wasn't living honestly because I'd put on a show depending on who was around. I was different at work versus home versus with my friends, and I was tired of living that way. It was exhausting. And so I went to my wife, and I shared with her my secret life. And I told her every reason I hated myself, why I thought I wasn't worth anything, why she should probably divorce me, because I am not the man I promised I would be when I married her.
Wow. What was her response?
She looked at me and just said, "I know. You're not hiding anything. I know all of that." And I just sat back and I'm like, no, I'm really good at hiding this though. No, I'm like, I've been hiding this for 15 years. No, you don't know these things. And she said, "No, I know all of that, but I still love you."
She could see what you thought she couldn't see.
Absolutely. So all the things that we think are secrets and we're hiding, mm-hmm. those who know us, those who love us, see those things and love us in spite of it.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people who live their life thinking that they're fooling everybody else is just living under, again, another illusion. Because the truth of it is, we are all energy. We're all energy and light. We're not bodies. There's nothing hidden inside our mind. If you're open and honest and authentic and at peace with who you are, when you meet people, they reveal themselves to you. You see them. So we right. don't actually ever hide. We pretend a lot.
It's just another lie that we tell ourselves that we believe.
Right. And I think that, you know, the reason it happens is because a lot of us are not consciously aware enough to have that insight. You know, we think that like, hey, I got it all together. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm making it all happen in my life. And somebody else sitting across the dinner table for you is like, wow, you're a mess.
Right.
And it's really starting to understand that, like, we're not fooling anyone, and none of us, anyone listening to this podcast, whatever, you can pretend to have it all together and and do your very best work, and you may be successful in a lot of areas, but you're not fooling anyone.
No, we're all a mess. We're all broken.
Like you said, it's so easy to lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you realize that everybody's got something going on underneath, like, it's so much more relatable, because you're just like, I see you. I see the real you. You're not showing it. You're hiding it, but I see you, and it's okay. Like, I still want to be around you.
Right.
And for me, that was, like, the biggest thing for my wife, is when she told me that she loved me in any way, it was the first time in my head that I was like, oh, I can have all this stuff going on and still be lovable. Well, if she can love me in spite of all this, maybe I can love me in spite of all this.
Yep.
And that was like a huge mindset change for me. Like, oh, I can be all these things, working on them, trying to be more patient, trying not to be angry, trying to help out, trying to serve, and still not be perfect, but I can still love myself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad that your story is such a success story, and that she truly loved not only you, but herself enough to be able to trust herself to be in the journey with you, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's the great thing. I mean, we have been through it all, but we've been married 17 years now, and I can honestly say life has never been better. Like, it's not any easier. It's not that all of a sudden all my problems have gone away.
Yeah.
It's just, I've learned how to deal with them. I've learned that the only way you're going to grow in life is doing hard things. We call it becoming sitting in the discomfort, learning how to become a master of suffering, whether that's a hard workout, controlling what you eat, getting focused work done, doing those hard things. That's how you find growth in life.
Right.
And you're never going to grow until you start doing those things. And it's when you intentionally suffer, that's when you find your purpose. If you're lost in life, if you don't know what your purpose is, go to the gym, go run, go do something super hard to where you want to quit, and you just keep going. It's that whole, like the resilience, right? What does resilience mean? It's to keep moving forward when that voice in your head gives you every reason to stop. Go do something that gets you to that point where it's like, no, you really should stop. You need to stop doing this. Okay, stop doing this, and push past that to where it's like, no, I'm going to keep going. And you will find so much power, so much purpose, that it will change your life.
Oh, I love that so much. And I love that you're now helping other people find the same sense of power and purpose in their lives. I mean, it's one thing to be successful for yourself and say, hey, I figured this out. But the true success is in lifting others, helping others, guiding others, and recognizing we all need the help. Regardless of what number is on the scale, we could all use some of the principles you've talked about, the journey of digging a little deeper, being honest with ourselves, and then being honest with the people around us who probably already know it, but for us to verbally express some of those things that we might think we're hiding, it creates a stronger connection and that vulnerability to say, okay, I need help, or I'm working on this, or I'm owning up to the fact that maybe for a long time I've tried to mask something. But Ox, this has been awesome. Thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for living your journey and helping other people on their own. Remind us again of where we can find you on social media. You said mostly Instagram and YouTube, right?
Yeah. So Superhuman Fathers, and then I'm the Superhuman Ox on Instagram, and then we have a YouTube channel, Superhuman Fathers.
One last question really quick. Is your program and your service exclusively for men, or is it mostly men? Could a woman gain things by watching the videos and things you share just from some of the mindset work, or is this principally kind of a male space? I'm just curious.
So Superhuman Fathers is for the men, and then Kyle's wife, Whitney, runs a women's group based off the same principles called
awesome.
Warrior Mom Fitness.
Oh, wow.
She's on Instagram as well. And then they do a podcast together called the Power Couple Playbook.
Okay. We got to call them. There's a new episode coming up. Warrior Mom Fitness. I think I've seen them.
So my wife actually went through her program. She's lost 50 pounds. She's completely transformed her life as well. And so, yeah.
So stay tuned, everybody. There's a part two coming. I do love that you share that, and that in this certain space, there is a space for men and there is a space for women, and there can be kind of that community based on maybe some of the differences inherent to some of those gender chemistries and things of our bodies, but also our mindset. So definitely we appreciate you sharing with us about the Superhuman Fathers. We are for sure going to want to follow up with the Warrior Moms, and together we can reach out and help people help themselves by believing in themselves. And I think that's what you've taught us most of all today, is to believe in ourselves and then do something about it. So thank you, Ox, for joining us. Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you like what you've heard today and that you'll keep listening with us. Go find us on your favorite podcast platform and give us a like, a rating, and a review. And as always, if you like what you've heard, you can find and follow us on our social media on Facebook at Relentlessly Resilient or Instagram at Relentlessly Resilient Podcast. If you have a story of resilience you would like to share, you can message us on those platforms or set up a pre-interview call with Michelle by using the link in our Instagram or Facebook bio. We would love to hear your own tips and tools for cultivating resilience.
And remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are dealing with in their lives. Have a great day.